Of the hour news, as it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q95, the big station, Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
This is the prime evening news for today, Thursday, February 22nd, 2024, in the headlines. Glenroy Sosa Coffee underscores the need to find solutions for ongoing challenges confronting Dominica's agricultural sector in order to enhance its development. Grenada's Southern Region Water System is set to undergo significant upgrades thanks to a US $20.7 million grant from the United Kingdom, facilitated through the UK CIF and managed by CDB. And hundreds of Kenyan mourners accompanied the casket of marathon world record holder Kevin Kimpton on its way to his home village, where the youngster will be laid to rest.
Q95.
Details coming up next.
Q95DA.com. Right on cue. Of the hour news, as it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q95, the big station, Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Glenroy Sosa Coffee expressed his views on the state of development and growth in Dominica, emphasizing the inherent desire for progress within the nation. Coffee highlighted that in any business endeavor, the aspiration for wealth creation inevitably emerges as a primary objective. However, he underscored the importance of first addressing the long-standing challenges plaguing the agricultural sector in Dominica while embarking on other large-scale developmental projects. Coffee pointed out that the agricultural sector has been grappling with various issues over time, hindering its potential for growth and prosperity.
Dominica is really, yearning for development and for growth. In any business venture that one undertakes, the first thing that comes to mind is to build wealth. You know, to build wealth for what you intend to do. So you have a business venture, you have a business project. You're, yes, why it is true that you want to build wealth, but you have to do it to the best of your ability and to have a business mind about. Agriculture has been conducted as a business for many years in Dominica. But we must admit, though, we have had many constraints with respect to agricultural development in our country. Over time and many years now, we have been dependent on rain-fed agriculture. Rain-fed agriculture, what do you do when you lack water? There must be a solution. And nowadays, we should not even talking about seasonality of crop. There should be no seasonality of crop to be doing things year-round. And so in the absence of water, or when you experience water deficit, you must be able to irrigate where especially water is available so that you can bring solution to the many farms who suffer during this
whole
period.
Coffee highlighted that the thriving agricultural sector in St. Lucia and commended the consistent endeavors of the government here to expand market opportunities, particularly in banana exports. He underscored the need to adopt a comprehensive strategy for the development of Dominica's agricultural sector.
On the 16th of February, the Minister for Agriculture in St. Lucia, Mr. Alfred Prosper, he highlighted that the island of St. Lucia grapples with banana surplus. That means to tell you St. Lucia now is producing more for the market, more for what the market can absorb. And Hillary is correct. Sometime, maybe in the not-too-distant future, you will see the importation of bananas or probably plantains into Dominica. And even the minister himself admits, look, they are shopping for market, but yet he is adamant in seeking alternative markets for the farmers going as far as St. Thomas. Because right now the Barbados market is saturated with the bananas, given the Suriname and competition costs for other areas in the Caribbean as well. Also, it is very important that when we're talking about agriculture, we have to develop agriculture holistically. And agriculture doesn't mean only bananas. There's a whole area of crops that one we can explore to develop our sector.
And that was Glenroy Sosa Coffee. Former Prime Minister Edison James suggests revitalizing the agricultural sector to its former prominence requires the formation of a dedicated committee tasked with policy development and implementation. Mr. James emphasized the importance of assembling a team of experts responsible for steering the agricultural sector towards becoming a cornerstone of the country's economy once again. He expressed concerns that the current government's focus on the citizenship by investment program is diverting attention away from other crucial matters such as the major pillars of Dominica's economy.
We must have a body of people with who have a body of people which has a responsibility to for policy development and implementation, and that body is committed to getting agriculture to be part of our economic development in the country. If you do not have that, we're not going to get anywhere. The policy of the administration now is to sidetrack everything else except CBI. Your famous slogan, if not CBI, what? That is indicative of a group that has decided that the only thing that we can have, we can deal with respect to economic development, is CBI essentially selling passports. If not CBI, what? They're saying to you, there's nothing else that we can engage in. Okay? Good.
James contends that reallocating funds from the CBI program to finance a robust agricultural development initiative is paramount and advocates for prioritizing agricultural investments over other developmental projects.
The CBI, as we understand it, is a program whereby we are exchanging our passport. I'm not in the parliament, but I want to give deference to Joseph Isaac, who tells us we must not see we are selling passports. That is the most stupid, ridiculous, foolish statement I've heard, okay? So the idea is that we're selling passports, we're exchanging passports, and we get money. Right now, we picked up around $9 billion over that time. It would be important for us to use some of that money to fund a serious agricultural development program. The same way, we're about the same way, but when you reflect on what we've been doing with that CBI money, we're getting hotel here, hotel there, hotel everywhere. Have you ever heard of a program to do with agriculture involving CBI money? No. So therefore, it is appropriate to conclude that the government, the policymakers, are not interested in agricultural development.
Former Prime Minister Edison James, Mrs. Connie Joseph Louis, IRC financial analyst, says in 2021, Domlec, the electricity provider, reached out to the Independent Regulatory Commission, IRC, expressing the urgency for a tariff review. Responding to this request, the IRC took action by bringing in a consultant from the Paris Infrastructure Agency with financial support from the Agence Française de Développement. This consultant was tasked with thoroughly examining and analyzing key aspects of the tariff regime documents.
In 2021, Domlec informed the IRC of the need to initiate a tariff review. The commission contracted the service of a regulatory consultant from the Paris Infrastructure Agency, PIA, and we got funding from the Agence Française de Développement. And we engaged the service of the consultant to conduct a review and to analyze critical parameters of the tariff regime document. These documents, which we received from Domlec, includes the application for depreciation study, the application for determination of the weighted average cost of capital, the application of the rate base, the application for the investment plan, and the application for the cost of service for Domlec.
In the same year, the IRC undertook an examination of Domlec's fixed assets as of December 2020, along with an audit of its inventory as of June 2021. Mrs. Louis highlighted that having accurate data on both fixed assets and inventory is crucial for determining the average tariff.
In 2021, The IRC conducted an audit of Domlec's fixed assets as at December 2020 and an audit of its inventory as at June 2021. Now, the fixed assets and inventory are critical parameters for determining what the average tariff will be, what the revenue requirement for Domlec will be. So therefore, we conducted the audits to determine whether or not the assets existed. So the audit of the fixed assets, overall, the objective was to determine the physical existence of this asset and to determine whether these assets will be considered used and useful for the determination of a tariff, and whether this asset will be considered as a regulatory asset. Now, a regulatory asset is the asset that the regulator considered that will be used and useful during a tariff making period. We also did an audit of the inventory of the of Domlec's inventory. Same principle, to consider whether or not these inventories will be used and useful in the determination of rates exercise.
And that was IRC financial analyst Mrs. Connie Joseph Louis. The 46th regular meeting of the Conference of Heads of Government of CARICOM is set to commence at the National Cultural Center in Georgetown, Guyana, on Sunday, February 25th, 2024. The event, chaired by President Dr. Muhammad Ufun Ali of Guyana, will feature keynote addresses from various dignitaries, including CARICOM Secretary General Dr. Carla Burnett and Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrit of Dominica. Over the course of 4 days, the business sessions of the meeting will take place at the Guyana Marriott Hotel in Georgetown. Heads of government will engage in discussions with distinguished guests, including President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva of Brazil. Key topics on the agenda include updates on the CARICOM single market and economy and the progress towards achieving free movement of all community nationals by March 31st, 2024. Additionally, discussions will focus on initiatives to address climate change, regional security concerns, transportation issues, financial matters such as the replenishment of the CARICOM Development Fund, and global affairs such as developments in the Middle East. The CARICOM chairman responsible for agriculture and food and national security will provide updates on the community's 25 by 2025 initiative aimed at reducing the region's food import bill and enhancing intra-regional travel. Treasurer of the Concerned Citizens Movement, John Blanchard, has shared his perspective on the recent court matter involving former Prime Minister Edison James. He raised concerns about the circumstances surrounding Mr. James's brief incarceration, particularly questioning whether he would have been detained bail if there were no sureties available for bail processing. Additionally, Blanchard questioned the disparity in bail amongst between James and individuals who have committed serious offences.
An elder citizen like Mr. James, 80 years old, a former prime minister, a man of good standing in this country, that has never found himself in trouble with the police, with the law. You have the man at that level sitting at the magistrate court, threatening him to send him to jail. So what if Mr. James had no shot in, nobody to stand the bail for him? What happened to him? Even that man would have been sent up to the prison. Sent up to the prison because there's no one to, no shorty to stand bail for him. And the bail amount at that, you know, $50,000 bail. You have gun-related charges and the bail was $40,000. You have charges of murder and much and big crimes with a much lesser amount for the bail requirements. But you have a peaceful, law-abiding citizen in good standing on bail for $50,000 for bogus manufactured charges that you all are fully aware of. that, and this guy has been languishing in the courts for about 7 days now, and you're still telling me that is not selective justice? It is. You decide who you want to drag before the courts, and you have the murderers out there on the streets at large, because they're your friends, they are your supporters, and probably your Navy SEALs too, and snipers, who knows? That is what we comment on, because...
Blanchard also queried the rationale behind the selection of opposition members and their families and the charges leveled against them for incitement. He suggested that such situations persist in Dominica due to the lack of independence of the legal system from the executive branch.
List of 10 persons who were charged for walking the streets of Roseau on a Wednesday. Again, selective justice. Why 10? Why 10? You have many, much more than 10 walking the streets. So why did you choose that 10? Why did you choose Sparks John's sister to charge her and arrest her and put her in a cell? You know, so the reason why we have that situation in Dominica is because the judiciary is not independent of the executive. If that was the case, these cases would have been thrown out, discarded a long time ago, because there is no evidence to substantiate these charges. Yet, the government continues to waste the state resources to pursue the matter.
Concerned Citizens Movement Treasurer John Blanchard. In other news, the water system serving the southern region of Grenada is set to undergo significant upgrades thanks to a US $20.7 million grant from the government of the United Kingdom, facilitated through the United Kingdom Caribbean Infrastructure Fund, managed by the Caribbean Development Bank. The project, announced by officials from Grenada, the UK and CDB in St. George's on February 21st, 2024, will be carried out by Grenada's National Water and Sewage Authority. This initiative aims to enhance access to safe drinking water and bolster water resource management in the southern part of the country. Scheduled to commence later this year and extend until early 2026, the project targets urban areas in southern St. George, where residential, tourism and commercial activities are concentrated and where water scarcity is most acute. Approximately 15,000 individuals, constituting over 14% of Grenada's population, are expected to benefit from this endeavor. Therese Turner-Jones, Director of Projects at CDB, highlighted that the collaboration between the UK, Grenada and CDB would not only improve water infrastructure, but also create short-term employment opportunities, thereby alleviating some of the economic strain caused by the COVID-19 pandemic. The project will entail expanding water production capacity, enhancing treated water storage, and upgrading transmission capabilities, ultimately enhancing the quality of life for the affected communities. And hundreds of Kenyans gathered on Thursday to honor the memory of Kelvin Kipnum, the marathon world record holder who aspired to shatter the race's famed two-hour barrier. Kipnum, aged 24, lost his life alongside his coach in a fatal accident earlier this month.
Singing hymns and holding hands, mourners walked alongside a convoy carrying Calvin Kiptum's flower-lined casket as it's headed to his home village. The procession for the marathon world record holder departed a morgue in the western Kenyan city of Eldoret on Thursday. 24-year-old Kiptum was killed in a car crash alongside his coach, Gervais Hakizimana, earlier this month. He lost control of the vehicle he was driving and crashed into a tree in Kenya's Rift Valley. The pathologist's report said he died of head injuries. Kiptum had only run 3 marathons, but each was among the fastest 7 times ever recorded. In October last year, he set the world record at the Chicago Marathon in 2 hours and 35 seconds. He had hoped to break 2 hours in Rotterdam this April and was expected to make his Olympic debut in Paris. The casket will travel about 80 kilometers on its way from Eldoret to Chipsamo, where Kiptum worked as a livestock herder before becoming a professional runner. Kiptum is survived by his wife and 2 young children. He will be buried on Friday.
Yeah.
That's the Prime Evening News, and here's a recap of the headlines.
When it happens.
Glenroy Sosa Coffee underscores the need to find solutions for the ongoing challenges confronting Dominica's agricultural sector in order to enhance its development. Grenada's Southern Region Water System is set to undergo significant upgrades thanks to a US $20.7 million grant from the United Kingdom, facilitated through the UK CIF and managed by CDB. And hundreds of Kenyan mourners accompanied the casket of marathon world record holder Kelvin Kipnum on its way to his home village, where the youngster will be laid to rest. I've been your presenter for this environment.
Of the Hour News, as it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q95, the big station, Q95.